Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you. Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. As I begin this sermon today, I do just want to give a brief warning because I am going to be talking a little bit about pregnancy loss, and I know that can be difficult for some people, so if that is you, please step out if you need to or do whatever you need to take care of yourself. It'll just be briefly at the beginning of the sermon. So I know we are all ready to get to Christmas Eve, right, and talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. We are sitting and are waiting for the Savior to come and heal the nation, set the captive free, and bring peace to all the earth. But we must sit just a little bit longer in our anticipation this morning. An anticipation that Mary and even her relative Elizabeth know all too well. Elizabeth has been waiting for a child. For 6 months, it says that she has been waiting for a child, and yet nothing has happened. In the grand scheme of things, I'm told that 6 months is truly not a long time to be waiting in this kind of situation, but it can feel like forever. The emotions that Elizabeth must be going through, or the guilt that I know families that are trying to conceive go through in asking themselves, "What is wrong with me? Why is this not working?" And while some might read the story and see hope that can be found in Elizabeth's story, others certainly read this and find annoyance in the fact that they have been trying much longer than Elizabeth, but they haven't had an angel come and make things right. I think there is comfort to be found in the fact that Elizabeth's pain is acknowledged and not forgotten. In a time when women were often ignored or treated poorly, the angel Gabriel and God have taken notice of her pain. In her anticipation of waiting for her own child, for her own good news, after waiting and waiting, she was never left alone. She was not left alone in her struggles, and neither are those who find themselves in or have found themselves in similar situations. We're reminded that God enters into the anxious waiting through doctors and friends, family members, and all those who are wrapping you up in the comfort and love of God that tells you everything will be okay. God understands your suffering because God has seen it over and over again and has not left the side of those people either. Now, this can be an incredibly hard time of year for many people as they are stuck with thoughts of what could have been. Now, I will never understand the joys, pains, frustrations, or anything else that goes with motherhood or potential motherhood. But I hope you know that you are not alone in any of it. And furthermore, I want to acknowledge that I am a white man talking about Mary, a young Middle Eastern woman, which I really have no right to be talking about, but here we are, so I will do my best. Being a first-time mother, this is certainly something that Mary would have worried about, going through this alone. But certainly she found at least some companionship throughout her pregnancy with Elizabeth. And I love that we get this story this year on the same day that we will be taking part in the celebration of the birth of Jesus at our Christmas Eve services later, because it invites us into sitting in this anticipation for just a little bit longer as we see what has come, what is coming. It is so close, but yet we sit here and just wait right before that moment. When we are all ready to skip ahead to Christmas, we are given instead this opportunity to sit with Mary, the mother of God, as her reaction to the angel Gabriel altered history, altered all of our lives. Now, the church has been split over this title for Mary as the mother of God. It's an argument between, I'm going to throw out some Latin words here, Theotokos, being the bearer of God, versus Christotokos, being the bearer of Christ. Now, there are those who would argue that we cannot say Mary is the Theotokos, because for God to have a human birth somehow takes away from God's divinity. Theologically, we recognize Jesus as the Son of God and the second person of the Holy Trinity as God, God's self. Now, Jesus is not the Father or the Holy Spirit, but is part of the Trinity that makes up God, making, therefore, Mary the mother of God. Now, why does this matter? I'm not just throwing Trinitarian theology at you to confuse you this morning on Christmas Eve, but because it is important and key to understanding the depth of God's relationship with humankind. That comes through an extremely intimate way in the birth of Christ through Mary. See, Mary was a human like any other. But in her faith, she was chosen to bear the infant who would change everything. But her being chosen isn't even the most amazing part of Mary. Her response to the angel Gabriel is what fascinates me the most. Despite being a young woman, we can assume Mary would have understood what it meant for her to bear a child out of wedlock during this time. She was engaged to be married, but it hadn't quite happened yet. For her to bear this child would mean for her to be called names, abandoned by her family, exiled by the community, and possibly being stoned. At least some of these things would have went through her mind when she was approached by Gabriel. Despite these hardships that she would most certainly face in saying yes, she in her bravery, she in her faithfulness, says, "Here am I." And without this yes, who knows what Christmas Day would look like? Some of us preachers were talking earlier this week about how if there was no Easter Day, that is to say, if there was no life-changing resurrection, then there would truly be no reason for celebrating the birth to begin with. And I think it works the other way as well. For if Mary had rejected this call upon her life, I don't know if we would be here either. Saying yes to what God is calling us to do can be intimidating. There's this thing called imposter syndrome, where a person feels like an imposter or a phony or a fraud when faced with feelings of success or recognition. A lot of people in seminary feel this as they're questioning whether they are worthy of preaching the gospel when compared to their friends or colleagues. This often comes from a place of looking at those around us and seeing their talents, their success, or apparent perfection, and feeling as though we can't possibly be on the same level as them. And we ask ourselves, why, O God, would you choose me to do this when there are others that are more qualified? Moses does this. When approached by God to be told to spread this message, Moses says, "But God, I can't speak very good." And God makes a way through his brother Aaron. The Bible is filled with stories of people running away from God's call on their lives, but God always catches up with those to do what God has called them to do. And that's what's amazing about Mary. She doesn't do that. She doesn't try to run away. She's perplexed, but she says yes to do this new thing that God is doing through her. God is doing new things in this church as well. And God is doing new things through you. Those little pulls that you get at the back of your mind that weigh on you, those tugs at your soul and at your very being, it's very possible that that is God trying to prod you along, saying to you that you have been chosen as a child of God to do this task. And you don't do it alone. For God promises that it is in the Spirit given to all people in the death and resurrection of Christ that God remains with you. When you feel inadequate for the task that God is calling you to do, God promises to be with you, and God has already made you worthy. You are worthy of this calling, for God has said it is so. Just as Mary was called upon to bear Christ, you are called upon to bear this good news of grace, love, and mercy for all people. You are worthy of this love that is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.